of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the 21st chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, the 28th verse, Jesus said, "Now when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Whenever we join in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, as we just did, we confess our faith that Christ will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. But it's especially in this holy season of Advent, when we're preparing to celebrate Christ's first coming in holiness, we also meditate on his second coming in glory. In his book of meditations for Advent called The Far Spent Night, the late Reverend Edward West has this to say about the Advent in the sense of our Lord's coming again in glory at the last day. "The Advent imposes not a date, but an attitude. The Advent imposes not a date, but an attitude. Not a date, because the day and the hour of Christ's coming again are known only to God. But rather an attitude. An attitude which is neither cynical despair and resignation, nor that shallow optimism which, despite all the evidence to the contrary, naively believes that every day and every way things are getting better and better. The Advent imposes not a date, but an attitude. Not of cynical despair and resignation, or of shallow optimism, but rather a deep and abiding hope. A hope which can face the very worst and still rejoice, because it is hope grounded in Christ alone, the loving Lord who through forgiveness makes each moment of our lives a new beginning, the Lord who brings good out of evil, life out of death, and who in the end will deliver the dying creation and wonderfully transform it in the light of his resurrection, as St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans. Creation itself will be delivered from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God." Or, as the risen Lord said to St. John, exiled on Patmos, "Behold, I make all things new." Now you and I and every human being are dying people. The grave awaits each one of us in the end. And we live in the dying world, which will come to an end. The signs of which the Lord Jesus speaks in today's gospel tell us that this is so. Signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, the stress of the nations and complexity, the roaring of the sea and waves, people tell us that this is so. But if we remember and take seriously the words of the Lord Jesus, these grim reminders are no cause for despair, because the Lord Jesus says, "Now when all these things begin to take place, Look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. When seen with eyes of faith, all these sad realities are in fact reason for hope, because they tell us that the Lord we love and long to see is in fact on his way. He is coming again to gather all his redeemed children into that kingdom which in his love he prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Until that last and blessed day, we live in steadfast hope and also in repentance, which is that change of mind and heart produced in us by God, who has prepared for those who love him such good things as past all understanding. Optimism is a quality of mind and heart that we find in ourselves. Hope is found not in ourselves, but anchored completely in God alone, whose truly good and loving heart we know through the gift of his Son and Holy Spirit. God the Father created you out of love. God the Son has redeemed you out of love. God the Holy Spirit's love is that you come to share in God's own eternal life and joy. This is our sure and certain hope, a hope grounded not in us, but in Christ alone, a hope that therefore can never be put to shame. But the one thing God will not do, precisely because he is love, is compel us to love. Because love compelled isn't love at all. We have that terrible freedom to exclude ourselves from his kingdom by refusing his love. We are deluded to think for a moment that we love God while at the same time ignoring his commandments. The Lord Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And so we are all called to daily repentance. We should especially remember this when we come to the Lord's altar. Because here at the altar, the Lord Jesus, who during his earthly life received sinners and ate with them, again received sinners who were sorry for their sins, who longed for forgiveness, and for the grace to do better. The Holy Sacrament is for the forgiveness of sins, is most assuredly not a license to sin. So St. Paul teaches us that we are to examine ourselves when we come to the Lord's table. So ask yourself, do I believe that I am a sinner? Am I sorry for my sins? Do I trust in Jesus, my Lord, whose body and blood were given into death for my sins, and are here truly present for forgiveness of sins, for life, and for salvation? This holy sacrament sustains us, not only in faith and in love, but also in joyful hope, because every communion is the foretaste of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Here at the altar, our hope is sustained and enlivened as the Lord who will come again in glory truly comes to us here in our earthly building. I want to conclude with some beautiful words of John Henry Newman about participation in the Holy Communion. This is what Newman had to say. While the times wax old and the colors of the earth fade, the voice of song is brought low, and all the kindreds of the earth can but wail and lament. The children of God lift up their heads because their redemption is drawing near. Nature fails, the sun shines not, the moon is dim. The stars fall from heaven and the foundations of the round world shake. But the altar's light burns ever brighter. There are sights there which the many cannot see. And above all the tumults of the earth, the command is heard to show forth the Lord's death and the promise that the Lord is coming. Happy are the people that are in such a case, who, when weary of the things seen, can turn with good hope to the things unseen. Yes, blessed are the people who have the Lord for their God. Come unto me, he says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest is better than toil. Peace satisfies, and quietness disappoints not. These are sure goods. Such is the calm of the heavenly Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. Such is their calm worship before facing heaven, who for a time shut themselves out from the world, and seek him in invisible presence, whom they shall hereafter see face to face. Jesus, thy feast we celebrate, we show thy death and sing thy name, till thou return and we shall eat the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.